Welcome to the CGA IGC podcast series, brought to you by the CGA IGC Education Committee and made possible through the generous support of our sponsor, LS Cancer Diag. Each episode aims to bring you an in-depth discussion related to emerging data, clinical challenges, and unique perspectives in the world of hereditary GI cancers. Before we start, we'd like to remind you that the content of this podcast is not intended to replace professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment, and the content reflects expert opinion at the time of recording. Keep listening to find out more about this episode's host, guest, and feature topic, and be sure to learn more about our sponsor at lscancerdiag.com.
My name is Josie Baker. I am a genetic counselor at The Ohio State University, and I'll be your host for this episode. During today's podcast, I will be speaking with Dr. Jeremy Davis, a surgical oncologist specializing in sporadic and inherited forms of gastric cancer at the National Cancer Institute. He recently published an article in the March 2023 issue of the Journal of Medical Genetics entitled Decision-Making and Regret in Patients with Germline CDH1 Variants Undergoing Prophylactic Total Gastrectomy. Thank you for joining us today, Dr. Davis.
Thanks for having me.
We'll go ahead and start off. Please tell us about how this article came about and what were the driving factors to learn more about decisional regret with prophylactic gastrectomy.
Well, Josie, again, thanks for asking me to talk to you a little bit about this paper. We've been studying hereditary diffuse type gastric cancer related to CDH1 and now CTNNA1 mutations for a little while here at the NCI. And as a surgical oncologist, I tend to take out people's stomachs, especially in the setting of a germline CDH1 variant where a patient comes to us with that family history concerning for the cancer predisposition syndrome. And one of the options is for them to get their stomach out. And when we do that, it's kind of a life-altering operation, and maybe not just kind of, it really is. And what we noticed over time, and probably because we have the luxury of following people as part of our natural history study, is we were finding out that when people came back to us a year later or 2 years later, which wouldn't be typical for a surgeon, right? We don't tend to follow people that long, especially if the operation's a success and they go on to live their lives. But we found that people were expressing a lot of feelings related to, geez, you know, was that the right decision, right? And it got us to thinking about, could there be regret? And then naturally, what it made us think about is, well, how do people even begin to make their decisions about having a gastrectomy? So a lot of this was born out of conversations with patients, hearing feedback from them, not just immediately after surgery, right? Because everybody feels kind of lousy right after a big operation. But it was really this long-term follow-up that helped enlighten us.
And when you and your fellow authors were looking at this data, did you face any challenges when finalizing it or when looking at it all holistically?
Yeah, I think, listen, this is not typical cancer research, which is what I do at the NIH, right? This is not where you have a clearly defined hypothesis and you run experiments and you get really clear data that you can analyze with statistics. This is a little bit harder, right? Because this is a little bit more nuanced. You're asking people oftentimes open-ended questions and you're getting a variety of responses that don't always fit well into nice categories. So one of our challenges was, yes, we can look at some objective data, right? Are you, what's your biologic sex? What's your ancestry or your race? You know, we can look at all those kind of objective things, but how do we quantify feelings? We struggled a little bit with this, but we thought it was really, really important. And certainly a lot of our co-authors had experience with other kinds of analyses that hopefully came through in the final paper.
And with the overall final conclusions of the paper, can you tell us how you hope this article will impact and hopefully be integrated into patient care moving forward, not only at your institution, but at other locations?
Yeah, listen, I obviously think about CDH1 and hereditary diffuse gastric cancer on a daily basis. It's just what I do. And my concern is that right now we have people out there getting genetic testing and getting results sometimes is not in the context of a genetic counselor meeting with them ahead of time and then going through the details. And I think it generates a lot of anxiety on the part of patients. I think there are also patients out there that are moving towards surgery when maybe they should take a little bit more of a slightly slower approach to gathering information. So our hope is this adds to the information that's out there, that people understand that there can be regret, that it's not just a, hey, I need to do this, that I really need to think about whether or not it's the right thing for me. I hope it helps clinicians, let's say surgeons that are counseling someone about their gastrectomy. But frankly, I think it could even start with what I hope are the genetic counselors that interface with these patients very early on, because they're the gatekeepers in a lot of ways. And they have so much knowledge to impart to these patients that I think it adds to, hey, what do you need to know? Not just the risks, you know, cancer risks, but what are the consequences potentially of your decisions? And what do you need to know to be fully informed?
And I can speak as a genetic counselor myself. This was very informative and a lot that I hope to take back to the clinical space too. And is there anything that you wish you could have added or looked more into for this study or hope to in the future?
Yeah, I think part of it has to do with how do you do high quality research in areas where, again, going back to feelings and how people's emotions or their social situation, what do they bring to the table? And we're working a lot now to try to figure out how we can do that a little bit better. And I think at the time that we did this study, it was probably the best we could do at the time, but we learned so much about, wow, could we have done this, that, or the other? So I think all those things that we could have done, we're looking at now, which have to do with how much information we get from patients through surveys, questionnaires, or even just face-to-face encounters, and try to document that ahead of time, right? Because we were going retrospectively before. We were picking up the phone and saying, you know, how did you feel a year ago? Well, that's, you can't do that very well, right? So we need to do it more prospectively.
And to wrap up our podcast today, can you tell us about anything that you're working on right now in this field and anything exciting to come?
Yeah, we have a lot of exciting things happening right now. I would say the biggest thing and the one that's probably going to have an impact on genetic counselors is that we have a very large multi-center CDH1 penetrant study coming out. And we're going to continue to try to hone in on what are the cumulative cancer risks for people with CDH1 mutations? Because I think by now, a lot of people recognize that some of the very early or original risk estimates were quite elevated and probably not totally accurate. And so I think this gets to more accurate risk assessment in the clinic. And the second thing is how that translates to management, because I think we're doing a lot of prophylactic gastrectomies that we probably don't need to be doing based on what's the actual cancer risk to that individual. And then the very, very last thing is that we have now some biologic data, some rationale for why people with CDH1 mutations will develop early cancers, some will develop advanced cancers, and how we might then take that to a cancer prevention strategy that doesn't involve surgery. So all those things are cooking, so to speak, right now, and I expect a lot in the coming year or two.
Sounds like a lot of incredible work is going on over there, and I can't wait to see it come about in the next couple years. Thank you again for joining us, Dr. Davis, and thank you to our listeners. Please stay tuned for more podcasts in our upcoming series.